Today we want to start the last lesson in this series of lessons entitled The True Story of the New Testament, Responding to Christ and His Commission. Today being the 10th day of November 2024, we want to begin this lesson, and it's entitled End Time Events. End Time Events. While we're talking about end time events and talking about folks who've been in the hospital, why don't you continue to pray for Brother George Nelson. Brother George is still there in Carroll Hospital also, right? And so he's back in there, going to be doing some testing tomorrow on him. And please lift him up in your prayers. Pray that God will help him and bless him and strengthen him, all right? All right, today we're going to begin in the book of Revelation. We're going to try to cover Revelation chapters 4 through 22, all right? Yeah. Don't know if it can be done, but we're going to shoot for the finish, all right? I want to give you this theme verse found in Revelation chapter 5, verse number 12. The Bible said, the angel saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And boy, that's our Jesus, amen? He is worthy today. And you know, in our last lesson, we began this book of Revelation. We looked at the first three chapters on it last Sunday. And we studied through the introduction of the book. But today, our lesson is going to be centered around the last part of verse 19. If you'll look at verse number 19. Let me think here. Revelation chapter 1. I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus told John. And boy, I can't imagine. I tried to imagine being on the Isle of Patmos by myself and hearing this great rumbling behind me and turning and seeing the Lord Jesus. I cannot imagine that. I just can't imagine it. But Jesus looked at John and he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." Now you think about that just a minute. The devil don't even have keys to his own house, amen? Isn't that great? Amen. The Lord Jesus took it all. He has the keys of hell and of death. And he tells John, he says, "Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." And our verse today, we're going to center on this, basically, verse number 19, the things which shall be hereafter. And we look at this as the end time events. The end time events. And you know, I think today, I would have loved to have seen Moses take that staff and hold it upon the waters, the Red Sea, and see all those waters part and all those millions of Jews walk across on dry ground, not muddy ground, not ankle deep, dry ground. I think they were kicking up dust, buddy, when they went through the Red Sea. I would have loved to have been there to see that. I would have loved to have seen it when the king came out and said, "Hey, Daniel, are you still alive?" And Daniel wakes up and he says, "Oh, yeah, your honor, I'm alive, I'm well. The Lord has sent an angel and shut the mouths of the lions down here." And all those bad boys got thrown into the den of lions. I'd have loved to have been there to see all that. I'd have loved to have seen it when David slung that rock and knocked old Goliath in the head and he fell to the ground and the Israelites defeated the Philistines that day. I would have loved to have been there when the wise men came in on all their entourage through the city of Jerusalem looking for the king because they'd seen his star in the east and they'd come to worship him. I would have loved to have seen old Herod's face when he said that. I would have loved to have been there when those shepherds were greeted by the angels in heaven and said, "Behold, unto you this day is a Savior is born." And you know what? I would have loved to have seen all those things. I'd love to have been there on the day that Christ died for me so that I could have bowed before him and thanked him for what he did for me on that day. I'd love to have been there when the tomb was empty. He rose up and he ascended back up into heaven 40 days later. I'd love to have been there to see all that. But I'm not that old. I've not been there. I've not seen any of those things except through eyes of faith in the Word of God. But you know what? I'm living in the last days. And I'm living in a day today that we are seeing these things come to pass that Jesus spoke of and said would come to pass before he came back again. Now you think about this. This is the thing that we need to consider today. He never talked about the signs before the rapturing out of the church. He never talked about that. He talked about the signs before his second coming to this earth, when he would be declared King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He talked about that day that he would defeat Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit. He talked about those things, those days when the judgment of God would come down upon sinful men who have rejected the Lord. But think about this. If we can see the signs of those days that are coming, and we know they're coming, we see all this happening over in Israel, and now how all these countries now are gathering their teamworks together to come against them. We're seeing all these things for that great day of battle when the world literally fights against God. And we see all these things coming to pass. We see all these things, all the pieces of the puzzle are being put together. Think about this just a moment. Before any of that happens, 7 years before that, you and I are going to be taken out of here. Now think about it. If we can already see the signs of those things, how close must it be to the rapturing out of the church? Listen, you and I have not been saved to wrath. We're not going to have to go through the tribulation. We've been saved. We've been born again. He has promised to take us out, and the Spirit of God will be taken out of here. And listen, you and I are just the perfume bottles. We're just the vessels that the Holy Spirit of God dwells within. For the Spirit of God to be taken out, the bottles have to go too. Amen? That's us. But if we can see all the signs of those things that we know are going to happen 7 years after we are taken out of this world, how close must we truly be to Jesus stepping out on the clouds of glory and saying, children, it's time to come home. And boy, that sparks us to do something great for God. Amen? That should spark us to do something great for God. I just saw Irvin and Doris. Good to see Miss Doris after that knee replacement. Good to see you. Good to see you. Thank you for being here today. Amen. Think about how close we must be. We today are living, in my opinion, in the most exciting days that we could ever live in. The days when we see all these things that may come to pass. Now, I want us to look at this today from the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter number 4. I want us to look at the heavenly scene. The heavenly scene. And when we look at this heavenly scene, I want us to look at this upward call that John writes about. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 introduce us to John's vision there on the Isle of Patmos, okay? He was there. He was exiled to that Isle of Patmos for his testimony for the Lord and for the testimony that Christ had put in his heart. He had been a faithful servant for God. And John writes about these things, and he has his encounter here with the Lord Jesus. He's given instructions by the Lord to write to the seven churches that are in Asia. He's to write about the things that he has seen, the things which are present, and the things that are going to come to pass. And beginning in John chapter 4, those things that are going to be seen in the future, okay? They're going to be seen hereafter. I want you to understand something here. When you look at Revelation chapter 3, and when you see what he says here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The message has been given. The message has been declared to each of these churches. And this seventh church, this church age, the church age I truly believe we are living in today, the church of Laodicea, the church of the self-pleasing people. They want their ears tickled and their backs scratched, and they want to feel good about everything except knowing Christ. We're living in that day today, folks. We're living in the day when Jesus is standing outside the door knocking and saying, "Let me in." And he's not let in. And folks, look at this. At some time between that verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, and Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, where John writes, after this, after what? After all these church ages, after we see these things come to pass, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. What's he opening that door for? For you and me? Those he's going to call to be at home with him, the dead in Christ are going to rise up first. We which are alive and remain are going to be called up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right? He said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. The call upward. We're looking at that here in this verse. And from that point forward, the church age that was in existence before this chapter 4, verse 1, you don't read of it anymore. You don't read of that anymore. The church age is gone. It's ended. And you don't see anything else about the church until you get to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. And then from Revelation chapter 4, verse 2 until Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, okay, all those chapters, John's focus is now upon the end time events as they come to pass, as they happen after the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been taken out of this world. And brother, it's a scary time. And I want you to see some of these things. Number one, I want you to see the heavenly throne, the 24 elders and the four beasts here in chapter number 4. I want you to look at this. In chapter 4, the glories of heaven are seen. Can you imagine the glories of heaven? I cannot imagine. I can't imagine. I see pictures of what the Biltmore House looks like down in Asheville, North Carolina. Big mansion with... they got Christmas trees that stand 20 feet or more in a room there. Great ballrooms and things. And got gifts and presents on there that takes two people to lift and hang on the trees. I mean, they got all kinds of stuff. I see all this stuff in Dubai, all these great big tall buildings and all these things they do. But none of the things of this earth can compare with the glories of heaven. Can you imagine the glories of heaven? We see the throne of heaven. And we see the one sitting upon the throne. Amen? We're going to see him face to face. Can you imagine seeing Jesus face to face? John fell at his feet here in Revelation chapter number 1 when he saw him. He fell at his feet as a dead man. Jesus reached over and touched him. And he said, I'm he that's alive. I was dead. Yeah, I came for a purpose. What was that purpose? To die, to pay the debt for your sins. But now I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And we're going to get to see the King of Glory. We're going to get to see the rainbow around the throne of God. Can you imagine? In the book of Genesis, you read about the first rainbow. And that rainbow was a reminder to God. It wasn't a reminder to men, but it was a reminder to God that God promised that he would never destroy the whole earth again with a flood. Amen. It was to remind God, because every time God looked at man, he saw his sin. God said, no, I made a promise. I made a promise. But we're going to see a rainbow around the throne of God. A rainbow. Can you imagine? I can't imagine that. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 4 said this, "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." And these are representing those 12 Old Testament tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles of the New Testament age. They're there. The lightnings, the thunderings, the voices that show forth the majesty and the power of God. You remember when Moses went up on the mountainside, Mount Sinai? And the lightning and the thunder and the smoke and the glory of God being on the top of that mountain. And the people backed off and told Moses, "We're afraid. You talk to God for us." They were scared. But there we're going to see the glories of God in His majesty. Man, can you imagine? In Revelation chapter 4, verse number 9, look at it. "Those four beasts, they give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat upon the throne, who lives forever, never again to die. And they cry out continually, 'Thou art worthy, O Lord.'" Look at it, verse number 9. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Can you imagine the scene that we're going to see in glory? Can you imagine those folks that have lived all their lives blind, and they've died, and they open up their eyes in glory, and the first things they see are the glories of God in heaven? Man, I'd have to have a new body in heaven. Amen? I couldn't stand it. Think about it today. Listen, over in John chapter number 5, John said this. I'm just going to read this to you a minute. He said, "And I saw," Revelation chapter 5, John said this. He said, "And I saw in the right hand of Him," beginning here in verse number 1, "I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And John said, 'And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Son, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof.'" Can you imagine John's heart when that elder comes to him and says, "Hey, John, don't weep, son. He's alive forevermore. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he hath prevailed." Listen, folks, when you get discouraged and you see all these things happening all around us today, take up heart. Get in the book, because we're on the winning side. Amen? Our Savior prevails. Jesus Christ, the one that came into this world so humbly, as a little babe in a manger, as a little babe in a stall. He was described by John the Baptist as being the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And now, He's going to be seen by His enemies and all the rest of the world as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, worthy to receive power and honor and glory and strength and blessing. That's my Savior, amen? And one of these days, we're going to see Him face to face. John is writing about it here. Let's look at point number 2 here, the 7 seals and the 7 trumpets, as they're seen in Revelation chapter 6 through 11. Now, this is a lot to cover, and I'm just going to cover some of the bases with this. But I want you to see some of these things. I want to highlight them for you, okay? Number 1, I want you to see the 7 seal judgments. Pastor has preached on this, and man, I love to hear him preach on it. How many years did it take him to get through the book of Revelation when he preached in him the book of Revelation? And honey, let me tell you something. He just touched the surface of it all. So if you're thinking I'm going to get through all this today, you're kind of mistaken. Amen. It's just not going to happen. But I want you to see something here today just to get you to where you'll say when you get home this afternoon, man, I got to go and read that. I got to go and see that. I'm going to see it one day in heaven. Look at this, what he said. As these seals are broken upon the book, that no one but the Lord Jesus Christ was found worthy to look upon or to open, a judgment falls upon sinful and wicked mankind. Now you think about this. Each time it's opened, and with each seal, each judgment gets worse than the one before it. It gets worse. But even in the midst of righteous judgment, God gives great mercy. And I want you to see this. Go over to chapter number 7. Revelation chapter number 7. Do you remember in the book of Genesis when God told Noah he was going to destroy the earth with a flood? And God brought all the animals two by two. The clean animals by sevens he brought so they had sacrifices. And all the animals God brought to that ark and he brought them in. 7 days before the flood, God told Noah, he said, Noah, you and your family come into the ark with me. And God left that door open for anyone who had not heard about the coming judgment of the flood. And 7 days after Noah and his family and all the animals and everything was inside the ark, 7 days they waited inside that ark with the door open. God finally shut the door and the judgment came down. God is again showing his great mercy. Even before the judgment comes down, God is showing his judgment or his mercy to those that have rejected Christ. These folks have never even heard the message. Do you know today how many people have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel? There are many. When I think about how that I can take, and right now, Pastor Howell is in New Zealand. It's like 1 something in the morning, okay? But he's teaching the Royal Blue Sunday School class. 8,652 miles away from us, he's teaching the Royal Blue Sunday School class. Technology has been given unto us to reach the world with the message of the gospel. But folks, let me just be honest with you. Most churches have lost their concern for reaching people with the message of the gospel. They're more concerned with building a big church right where they are. They're more concerned about having multitudes of monies in the bank and things like that. And you know what? They're not concerned for souls. Man, this past week, I don't know how many folks came to know Christ as their Savior because many of you and others in our church went out knocking on doors telling folks about Christ and they accepted Christ Jesus as their Savior. And in the midst of all this stuff, Revelation chapter 7 talks about here how that John sees 144,000 witnesses that God sends out into the whole world. Now let me give you some things about these witnesses today. I want you to understand they are not the witnesses that religious group in our world today says they are. It's not them. And let me tell you how I know it's not them. When they come to the door, and some of them are husband and wife, and they got kids with them. I had two older ladies, about 105 and 130, that came to my door not long ago. Okay? And I want you to see something here. These 144,000 witnesses, number one, there's 12,000 from every tribe of Israel. They're all Jews. They're all Jews. Let me say it one more time. They're all Jews. Number two, they're all males, men, okay? There's no women in there. They're all men. They're all males. We're going to see it in a moment. I'll prove it to you from the Word of God. And number three, they're all virgins. They've never been married. They've never been married. That's what the Bible tells us. And God said here, they're all 144,000 of them, 12,000 male Jewish virgins from each tribe, the tribe of Israel. They are sealed by God, and they are preserved and kept safe by God during all this wickedness that's going on. And while the judgment of God is coming down upon the world, these men are out preaching the gospel to people. And in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, the Bible said, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Now, I want you to look at Revelation chapter 7. And I want you to look here at verses 13 through 17. And here John learns the fates of those who are saved through the witness of these 144,000 people. Now, you got to remember what's going on. Great sorrow is going on during the world. But these are people that have never heard the message of the gospel. The 144,000 Jewish male virgin witnesses are witnessing to them, telling them about what Christ did for them. And look at what it said here. I want you to note here in the Word of God that none of those folks go through or experience in any way, any part of the wrath of God against them. Now look at what it said. They came out of great tribulation, verse 14, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, I want you to understand something today. And I want you to see this. As a matter of fact, I want you to just turn to this passage of Scripture. Make a note here where we're at. Just hold your finger there. But turn over to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I've heard people say, well, when the Lord Jesus comes back and takes all the Christians out, then I'll get saved then. No, you won't. If you've heard the gospel and you've rejected it, nope, it won't happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 9 says, of those of us who know Christ as our Savior, look what he said, God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord, Jesus Christ. And if you'll remember in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation upon those that believe Christ. Listen, we're not going to suffer the condemnation of sin. We're not going to suffer any of those things. We're not going to go through any of that stuff. But these 144,000 male Jewish witnesses are sealed by God to witness to all parts of the earth, to those who have never heard the gospel. And they're going to get to hear it. Now, let's go back here just a moment. If we go back here to chapter 7, verse number 4, I want you to see here, I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And it goes through here and lists all the tribes, okay? Every one of them. 12,000 from every tribe. So we know what these are, the witnesses. And God is still showing his mercy to all men. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants them to know. Listen to this. After all this, Revelation chapter number 8, we begin here, and John writes, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Can you imagine? Silence in heaven. Before you heard praises and glories given unto God. But now, after this happens, there's silence in heaven for the space of about half an hour. And then we see the seven trumpet judges, the judgments. And here, after the seven seals are broken, God's judgment for man's sin, for rejecting Christ as our Savior, it is poured out upon this world. And folks, I cannot imagine what it's going to be like in this world. I cannot imagine. You can read about those seven judgments here in chapters 8 and 9. I don't have time to go through all that. But in chapter 10, John kind of puts a little parenthesis here, okay? And he wants us to know something that's happening during this time. And he describes the angel who stands upon the ground, the dry ground and the wet sea. And he claims them all as belonging to the Lord God. And then he proclaims that there will be no further delays in judgment against the sin and those who have opposed God. You think about that. God's judgment against sin will be bitter. God's judgment will be terrible. But that great day of Christ's millennial reign will be sweet. When Jesus reigns upon this earth, he's going to take care of all that stuff. You won't see that anymore. You'll see that in verses 8 through 11. And I don't have time to go through again. This is something I want to give you, something to make you hungry to go back and read it when you get home today, okay? And this week. And the last judgment was actually seen of those seven bowl judgments. Again, it's seen in beginning here in chapter number 16. As you get to chapter number 16, you'll see that. Okay? And then we're going to get to the two witnesses. And there are two witnesses that God sends upon this earth. And we're going to see that in Revelation chapter number 11. You go back to Revelation chapter number 11. And God is going to bring forth two witnesses. I don't know who they are. The Bible doesn't proclaim who they are. They're sent to proclaim to the devil's crowd that this world belongs to God, not Satan. It's God's. It's not the devil's. And they're going to perform great wonders in this chapter. And yet all those who see them and they hear the words that they proclaim, they're going to be so vilely hating God for everything that they're going to reject any message that they give. Why? Because of their hatred for truth and their hatred for God. Folks, we have only seen a precursor of that kind of hatred in our world today through this election policy. Man, the whole thing, everything is hate, 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 hate. But it's nothing like the hatred for those who have rejected God. And now they're facing the judgment of God. They know what's coming upon them. And they still choose to hate God. What a sad day it's going to be. And if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll start right here in chapter 11, okay? That'll put us about halfway through where we need to be. I'm just giving you an outline of what's going to happen in these end time events. Folks, we are living in an exciting day. And for those of us who know Christ as our Savior, we ought to be standing today and proclaiming His name in all that we do and trying to reach the world with the message of the gospel before it is eternally too late for them. One day it's going to be too late. But now, while there's time, anybody listening to the sound of my voice right now and you don't know Christ as your Savior, now, today is the day of salvation. Come to know Him today as your Savior. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed for this lesson. Father, Lord, I know that Man, I have not touched on what needs to be taught in this lesson about end time events that are coming to this world. But Lord, I know that your word is true. And Lord, I know that we're living on just borrowed time right now, Lord, before you come back and take your children out of here and you send your judgment down upon those who have rejected you as their Savior. So, Father, help us, Lord, today to have a burden for those who are lost. Help us, dear God, today to see the need for being faithful for you. Lord, because you loved us and gave yourself for us, and now we can truly live for you and be faithful unto you. Help us, dear God, today to choose to love you enough to take the message of the gospel everywhere we go. Please, Lord, use the lesson today to strengthen our hearts. Bless our pastor today, Lord, as he stands to preach. I pray, God, that you would honor all those veterans that we honor today, Lord, for their stand for this country, and Lord, for standing for truth. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll bless them, strengthen them, encourage their hearts through the service today. And Father, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.